Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us like a dove from on high. We, your baptized people, so that we might participate in Christ's fast. We would see Jesus. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, no sooner does Jesus crest out of the Jordan waters than the Spirit of God falls upon him like a dove from heaven. And from the clouds, the Father's voice booms, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But then, in that moment, the Spirit of God that has fallen on Jesus roars through his soul like a mid-morning gale, pulling, tugging, pushing, driving, blowing Jesus away from the adoring, puzzled crowd standing on the banks of the Jordan, from the gaping baptizer pointing with a finger, driving Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness. Can you imagine it? The wilderness. The place where the sand sneaks into Jesus' sandals, rubbing raw his feet. The wilderness, where the viper slides in the scorching heat, its diamond head making smooth figure eights with every movement. The wilderness, where the three bandits crouch behind the rock in its shade, watching the road that skirts these badlands. A whisper then from the Spirit, a gentle zephyr, Jesus squinting, seeing their trap, but turning off the road, hiking into the very heart of the howling wastes. The wilderness, where the Galilean stops beside a cluster of shrub trees, leans down against them and their striped shade as he undoes his veil, the veil that keeps the grit from his mouth, and gulps down a few precious bits of water from the skin, the water skin slung low against his shoulder. The hollow, empty laugh then from the canyon nearby, echoing, "If you are the Son of God, God, God." A dust devil whirling past, Jesus shivering, the wilderness. Because the wilderness is not just the place of outlaws and danger. The wilderness is the place of the demons, of the chaos of this world on display. And then those chapped, cracked lips crinkling up in the corners, as Jesus remembers the stories of Moses and Elijah, his forebears in the wilderness. But the wilderness is also the place of dreams, the place of wild holiness and visions of the Almighty. Jesus cinches back the water skin, slings it over his shoulder, puts his veil back in place, tied up against his turban, pulls himself up on his staff, and continues on into the heart of this desert, this place of testing and trial. Dark comes, and like a nomad, Jesus makes a thornbrush fire, staring into its crackling depths as outside in the darkness, the beasts of the desert howl, bark, yip, and prowl. 40 days the Son of God walks these wastelands. 40 days when his water skin goes dry, does he kneel? Yea, does he lie down and lick the moisture from the seeping riverbeds? 40 days in the Spirit's strength, 40 days he eats nothing. He fasts. Just like Moses and Elijah who go before him in the power of the Spirit. 40 days without food. 40 days of the Spirit's empowerment here in the wilderness. For this is all Holy Spirit work. Holy Spirit work that now strips Jesus of all self-illusion, driving him away from any of the possible chanting crowds there on the Jordan River. Son of God! Son of God! Son of God! Driving him away from any hint of self-importance, any self-reliance. For here in the wilderness, as his belly gurgles, as his breath goes foul, as his steps sometimes stumble in dizziness, he learns the truth of who he must trust above all. Not his own power, not his own strength, but the Father. That he must trust the Father. And so the Spirit trains him. And through the things he suffers, he becomes obedient. He learns obedience, stripped of all illusions through his fast in the wilderness. But as the fast comes to an end, 40 days there in the desert lands, that hollow, laughing voice slinking beside him. The devil, like a liquid shadow, dodging his path, bringing Jesus' greatest temptation to his face. For a fast will always bring the greatest temptation in front of one. You. Be the Son of God that all would hope you to be. Reach out and snatch it with your own power and strength. Rely on yourself, a self-made Messiah. If you are the Son of God, a bit of bread magic for self-reliance, a bit of angel help for self-promotion as you descend into the courtyard of the temple, the Jews clapping and cheering for the Messiah who has come to rule from their midst. A bit of greasing devil palms for self-saving. You don't need to suffer. Grasp it. Take it. With your own power, with your own strength. Trust in yourself. And between each labored breath, the tempter wheedles and whines and whispers these words. Even as Jesus stumbles and shuffles forward in the rhythm of his prayers, a rhythm beginning to mimic his very steps. 1, 2, 1, 2. Scraps of scripture floating through his mind. Man does not live by bread alone. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. You shall worship only the Lord God, and him alone shall you serve. Jesus resists each of the temptations because he is spirit trained through this fast. The Spirit has trained him well, for he knows that all he needs is his Father. All he needs is to trust the one who has loved him before the world began. And so he resists. He resists in that fast, that naked, stripped moment when he has no food for comfort, nothing to paper over the temptation. He resists, and the Spirit shows him to be the very Son of God, the one who who does not grasp at his right and his power, but instead it is who is free to love, free to overflow for the world. It's a strange story, isn't it? That's really strange for our culture as well. Not only is Jesus going in the wilderness to fight the devil, which is kind of weird of itself, right? But he's doing it on an empty stomach. He's fasting. I mean, this doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, if I think I'm going to go fight the devil, I'm going to go have a good breakfast beforehand, right? I'm going to get ready for this. Maybe do some push-ups. I don't know. But no, he goes in his weakness. And this is all Holy Spirit work, by the way. Again, at the very beginning of our gospel reading this morning, we are informed that this is the Spirit bringing him into the wilderness. Mark, as he relates the story, will say that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And Luke, who just loves the Holy Spirit to no end, adds two more times in the story that Jesus is in the power of the Spirit. All that happens is Holy Spirit work. This fasting, this testing. And as Holy Spirit work, it is Holy Spirit work in our lives as well. For this is our story. Our story. For no sooner do we crest through those Jordan baptismal waters than the Holy Spirit falls upon us like a dove. And the Father's voice booms from the cloud. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. But before we can trust in ourselves, before we can rejoice in our own strength, that same Spirit is upon us here in this Lenten season, blowing through our souls like a mid-morning gale, driving us, blasting us, pressing us into the wilderness with Jesus to participate in his fast, to participate in his struggle with the devil. In this season of Lent, we fast. We give up something that comforts us, something that we run to when the going gets tough. We let go of maybe food, maybe television, maybe the internet, something that comforts us. We let go of it. And as we walk the wilderness with Jesus for 40 days, as we participate in who he is, as we kneel down, lay down, and lick the moisture from seeping riverbeds, as we huddle under clusters of shrub trees and the stripes of their shade, and drink what little water we can from our slowly dwindling resources, we learn that we belong to God. We learn of who we need, who we really are. All we need, the Father who has loved us before the world began. We learn that we do not control our lives, that we do not grasp the power with our own wit and wisdom, that we do not have to have those chanting crowds beside the Jordan for us. Son of God, Son of God, Son of God. All we need is the Father. And yet, as we walk the Lenten fast, there, dogging our steps is that laughing, hollow shadow, the liquid shadow of the evil one. For fasting always brings to the surface our greatest temptation, our greatest struggle. The spiritual theologian Richard Foster says that fasting has a way of showing us what controls us. Because as soon as there's a lack in our bodies, we begin to run to sin. When we've got food, when we've got these other good things that we can kind of paper over our chasms within our hearts, we can pretend that these problems are not real in our lives, that these demons are not ours. But when we fast, we begin to see ourselves stripped of all illusion. We begin to see ourselves as we really are. We begin to know what we need to repent of in the wilderness. Will you come into the dark night of the soul? Will you sit beside that crackling fire and listen as the beasts howl and yowl and yip and bark? Will you come into the hard place? Will you fast with Jesus and participate in his life? Will you do it and learn of your freedom? The freedom of knowing that all you need is the Father. The grace of knowing that all you need is the Father. And that even the devil can't take that away from you. Come, sisters and brothers, come into the fast of Lent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.